Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, the man who calls it right down the middle, Dion Tyree Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. 2021 NFL Draft officially in the books. Seven rounds, 259 picks, a three-day celebration of everything awesome about the game of football. And it's over now. So now we get to talk about it and debate and discuss who made the right picks, who made the wrong picks, who improved their football team, who didn't improve their football team, the picks you agree with, picks you didn't agree with, so on and so forth, yada, yada, yada. All the draft grades are out. And now the debate ensues. Now we just look forward to the next phase of the football season, which would be training with OTAs and then training camp and preseason and the regular season. And as a 49er fan, I can't wait for the regular season to kick off. I'm just on the edge of my seat right now. I'm so psyched about Trey Lance being on my team. The 49ers made the right draft pick, the pick that I wanted them to make. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, y'all must be listening to the podcast. Y'all received this knowledge and wisdom that I'm more than happy to impart upon not only YouTube, but everyone else who wants to listen upon all the masses, all the loyal fans of the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm always here. I'm here to help. That's my role in life. I'm here to help. I'm here to guide people along the right path, the straight and narrow, give people the advice that they need as a person who just observes everything and has a critical analysis breakdown of every situation in life and is more than happy to share my knowledge and share my perspective with people. I'm always here to help. I'm on your side. I'm your friend. I want everyone that I know and I talk to do well, and I mean that. That includes the San Francisco 49ers. So thank you, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, for your loyal, I would say viewership, but this is an audio podcast, for your loyal listening and following of the Dion Gordon Podcast. Clearly, you guys must be listening because everything I've said, almost everything I've said that the 49ers need to do, you guys actually do it in real life. I said Trey Lance should be the right pick. And number three, if you guys are going to trade up two draft picks to get to number three, you should take a quarterback like Trey Lance. Lance, there's nothing wrong with Michael McCorkle Jones. I don't have a problem with Mac Jones. But at the third pick, not quite worth it. New England did good. They sat at number 15. They stood pat, pardon the pun, and they got their guy. Mac Jones should have gone at 15. He should not have gone at 3. And after much trepidation for months and months and months from 49er fans like myself and people in the media and analysts who thought that Kyle Shanahan was going to take his prototypical quarterback and Mac Jones, a guy who's in line with someone like Matt Ryan and Matt Schaub and Kirk Cousins, he did the right thing. He didn't listen to the outside noise. And he took Trey Lance. The correct move was made at number three. Trey Lance should have been the third pick in the NFL draft. Trey Lance, in my opinion, other than Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, is the third best quarterback prospect that came along in this draft. And he's on our team, and I'm ecstatic. The level of euphoria I'm feeling knowing that the Niners made the right pick, I'm ready to jump out my skin right now. And to that point, now the conversation becomes, should Trey Lance start from year one? Because all the conversation I keep hearing is that, well, conventional wisdom tells you that Trey Lance, because of his inexperience, should sit for a year behind Jimmy Garoppolo. Whenever Kyle Shanahan's asked about that, he always says, well, we're in the perfect situation because we have a proven veteran in Jimmy Garoppolo who has shown he can get a team to the Super Bowl whenever he's healthy. Underline that, whenever he's healthy, which doesn't happen very often. But he's shown he can get a team to the Super Bowl whenever he's healthy. And that is true. I will never take that away from Jimmy Garoppolo. That's indisputable. That's fact. When Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy, he can lead it. He can get a team to the Super Bowl. Once again, there's a clear distinction. The 49ers did not get to the Super Bowl because of Jimmy Garoppolo. They got there with Jimmy Garoppolo. But the point is they got there and he was a starting quarterback. I can never take that away from him. He has that on his resume for the rest of his life. Jimmy Garoppolo, the starting quarterback for a professional football team that reached the apex of professional football almost. They came within 7 minutes of doing it, but the point is they got to the Super Bowl with him as a quarterback. But now the conversation becomes, does Trey Lance start in year one? Jimmy, since that Super Bowl loss in which he imploded in the fourth quarter, didn't play very much football last season. He missed 10 games with an ankle injury. He was 3-3 in the 6 games they did play. Wasn't very impressive. Wasn't impressive at all, really. So obviously the decision was made to go in a different direction, to move up in the draft, to mortgage the future for Trey Lance, hoping that he'll be the quarterback of the future, the next great San Francisco 49er quarterback, in the same mold of John Brody, Joe Montana, Steve Young, Jeff Garcia, and of course, my man Colin Kaepernick. I believe Trey Lance can be that guy, and I believe Trey Lance can be that guy starting this season. I don't see a point to Trey Lance sitting on the bench. Trey Lance has already been sitting for about a year now. Trey Lance has not really played football since 2019. He has 318 pass attempts in college. That is the fewest amount of pass attempts in 40 years of a quarterback who's been taken in the NFL draft, in the first round in particular. 318 pass attempts, 17 career starts in college. There's been so much conversation, so much talk about Lance's inexperience and how Lance is raw and unpolished and needs to develop and needs time and this, and that, this, that, and the third. What Trey Lance needs is to play football. I don't understand how people can talk about Trey Lance being underdeveloped and raw and inexperienced and then in the same breath say he needs to sit for yet another year and not play football for another year, and that's going to help him develop. I don't understand that rationale. People try to make the comparison between Garoppolo and Trey Lance to Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes is not the same thing. Alex Smith was a lot more quarterback savvy and knowledgeable and a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo is. He can impart wisdom to somebody. What is Jimmy Garoppolo even going to teach Trey Lance? How to get hurt? How to throw inaccurate passes? How to throw an inexplicable pass into double or triple coverage? Is he going to teach Trey Lance how to do that? Those aren't good things. Those are bad things. And that's why Jimmy's about to be out of a job soon. I don't see a point to Trey Lance sitting. I don't see how more continued inactivity is going to help this kid become a better football player and a better quarterback. He needs to be on the field. He needs to see live reps. He needs to make mistakes, as crazy as that might sound. He didn't throw an interception the last year he started. He didn't lose a game. I think he's 17-0 in college. He threw 28 interceptions and 28 touchdown passes and no interceptions the last year he played college football, 2019. It might sound crazy. He needs to get on the field. He needs to fuck up. He needs to make some mistakes. He needs to fumble a snap. He needs to throw a pick. He needs to misread coverages. He needs to escape out of the pocket, fight for extra yardage, and fumble the ball in the process. He needs to go 11 of 30 for 144 yards, no touchdowns, and two interceptions. He needs a game like that. He needs to be humbled. He needs to take his lumps. He needs some adversity. He needs to get beat up a little bit. Because at North Dakota State, everything was great. What people don't realize is that North Dakota State is an 8-time FCS national champion. That's more than any other school that plays in the FCS. North Dakota State is like the Alabama of FCS. They win all the time. So this kid is accustomed to winning and playing perfect, mistake-free football. He needs to get on the field and make some mistakes. I want to see how he responds to it. And you can say the same thing about every other quarterback that comes out of college into the pros. Trevor Lawrence has never lost a regular season game. Through high school and throughout his entire career at Clemson, Trevor Lawrence has never lost a regular season football game. His only losses in college were the national championship game in 2019 versus LSU and the semifinal game versus Ohio State last year. Other than that, he's never lost. And you can say the same thing for all these stud quarterbacks who were great and elite in college, and Trey Lance is no different. So I want to see this kid get on the field. I want to see him play. I want to see him make some mistakes. I want to see him go through some adversity. I want to see how he responds to it. But more to that point, and bigger than that, I want to see how well he plays. I want to see how he does in the system, playing alongside George Kittle and Raheem Mostert and Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. I want to see how he does running the Shanahan offense. I don't see the upside to him sitting down and holding a clipboard and a headset and a ball cap on the sideline. I don't see how not playing football is going to help this kid become a better football player. I understand the Rodgers, Brett Favre dynamic, the Mahomes, Alex Smith dynamic. I get that. But this one, understand the two quarterbacks that we're teaching and the two quarterbacks that we're learning. Brett Favre is a Hall of Famer. Alex Smith is a very good quarterback. He won't be in the Hall of Fame, but he was a very good quarterback for a long time in the NFL. He can teach you. You can learn something from Alex Smith. Once again, what are you going to learn from Jimmy Garoppolo? Jimmy Garoppolo sat for 2 years behind Tom Brady. Didn't appear to learn anything from him. So this notion that a quarterback, a newly drafted quarterback, has to sit, like it's mandatory, he must sit for a couple of years and then get on the field and study behind a proven veteran, that's an outdated, antiquated notion. It doesn't hold up in today's current NFL. I can give you all types of examples. Josh Allen didn't really sit. He played from day one. Look how good he is. Deshaun Watson sat for a couple of games, and he's taken off ever since that. Russell Wilson played from day one. The plan when Russell Wilson got drafted was for Matt Flynn to be the starting quarterback for Seattle in 2012. Russell Wilson showed up in preseason and outplayed him throughout all training camp, and the rest is history. He hasn't missed a game for Seattle since 2012. He's been the incumbent starter every year for 9 years now and played at a high level all nine of those years. So there's no exact science to this. You can sit, you can learn, you can go to Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers' route if you have a proven veteran quarterback there who can actually teach you something, like Brett Favre, Alex Smith. Or you can just jump right into the fire. Peyton Manning played from year one and threw 28 interceptions his rookie season. But you saw how well and how quickly he rebounded from that. That's why I say I want to see Lance get on the field and make some mistakes, because I want to see how he responds to it. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. This isn't North Dakota State. You're not going to go undefeated. You're not going to have a season of not throwing an interception. You're going to throw some picks. You're going to take some lumps. You're going to get hit. You're going to have a game where the 49ers lose like 41-13. It happens. This is pro football. These are grown men. Everyone gets paid. There's multimillionaires on both sides of the football. Losing in adversity is inevitable. So why not just get out there and just let it happen? Just take your lumps. Just get beat up a little bit. He'll be okay. All I've heard about Trey Lance is how intelligent he is. Kyle Shanahan spoke to that the other night on Scott Van Pelt's show on SportsCenter about how intelligent he is at 20 years of age, how mature he is at 20 years of age, how well he processes information, how well he does with the X's and O's and the schematics of the game. So if he has it all together upstairs, and then the physical tools cannot be disputed. The guy's athletic. The guy's a quick release, strong arm. He can move, quick feet, escape out of the pocket. You can call design running plays for him. Big, stout kid, 6'4", 230. He could protect himself on the football field. If he has all the physical tools and he has it all together upstairs mentally, what are we waiting for? Put him on the field. Let him go. You have the offense. You have Kyle Shanahan, arguably, other than Andy Reid, the best play caller in pro football. People say, well, Lance can't play because he's inexperienced and how you would have to dumb down the playbook in order to accommodate him. Kyle Shanahan had to dumb down the playbook for Jimmy Garoppolo. What are people talking about? Go back and look at that Rams game last year on Sunday Night Football. Jimmy didn't throw a pass more than 10 yards in the air. He threw passes behind the line of scrimmage and about 5 to 10 yards in front of the line of scrimmage. He won that game with shovel passes, jet sweeps, touch passes, hitches, slants, curls, and digs, which is pretty much how he won every game last year, the three games that he won. The game against New England, it was the same game plan. You mean to tell me Trey Lance can't execute that? You mean to tell me the 49ers traded up two first-round picks to get to the third pick in the NFL draft to get a quarterback who can't even execute a quick slant? He can't throw a 5-yard hitch? He can't throw a 10-yard in route? A shovel pass? A touch pass? A jet sweep? He can't turn to hand the ball off? We won an NFC Championship game with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing 8 passes. You mean tell me Trey Lance can't run that same game plan? What are people talking about? You traded up all this draft capital, all these assets to get the third pick in the draft and to get Trey Lance, and you're going to sit him for a year after he's already sat for 1 year? He played one college football game last year. He really hasn't played since 2019. Once again, I don't understand how more inactivity and more sitting and more not playing football is going to help this kid grow and become an elite quarterback in this league. It doesn't make sense to me. Put Trey Lance on the field, start him from day one. You know what? In all honesty, he'll probably beat out Jimmy in training camp anyway, the same way Russell Wilson did Matt Flynn in 2012. I could see that situation happening. He'll probably outplay him in training camp and preseason anyway and earn the starting job, which is what Kyle Shanahan said he had to do. Now he said it's going to be an uphill climb. And he said because we have an incumbent quarterback who took us to a Super Bowl 2 years ago, so it's going to be tough for Trey Lance to beat him out, which is coach speak, which leads to my next point. Kyle Shanahan is pumping up Jimmy Garoppolo in the media because he wants to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, and he doesn't want to diminish his trade value by trashing him or bad-mouthing him to the media. So you want to pump him up. You want to talk about all the good things Jimmy does. You want to accentuate the positive and hide the negative. So you won't mention that he's missed 23 games in 3 years, but you'll accentuate the fact that he is 24-8 as a starter for the San Francisco 49ers. At the last time he played a full 16-game season healthy, the team went 13-3, won their division, and got to the Super Bowl. You want to talk about that part. You don't want to talk about the missed games, the bad games, the two times he had a 7-5 touchdown interception ratio. You don't want to mention those parts. Mention the good parts, because inevitably what is going to happen once we arrive in around training camp, preseason, some of the quarterback on some of the team is going to get hurt. Happens every year. It's inevitable. Happens every single year in training camp or preseason. Some quarterback on some team gets hurt, and then they become desperate, and they think to themselves, we need somebody to step in and play right now. We need to make a deal. So that's when you get desperate, you get on the phone with John Lynch and say, how much do you want for Garoppolo? There's a precedent for this. There's a lot of precedents for it. But I'll use this example. You think about the 2016 when another North Dakota State quarterback, Carson Wentz, was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. And the thought process was he was going to sit behind Sam Bradford. And then one day in training camp in Minnesota, Teddy Bridgewater destroyed his knee. Tore every ligament in his knee, dislocated his knee, out for the season, obviously. Minnesota needed a quarterback, so they get on the phone with Philadelphia and say, how much do you want for Sam Bradford? And the deal was made, and Bradford went from Philadelphia to Minnesota. And at that point, Carson Wentz became the starter for the Philadelphia Eagles. Much of the same conversation was going on with him, too, coming out of North Dakota State. Well, the kid's raw. He played at FCS. We questioned the level of competition he played against. Is he ready to start from day one? Carson Wentz did pretty good starting for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, he's no longer there, obviously, but he did pretty well. The moment wasn't too big for him. The stage wasn't too big for him. The same thing can happen for Trey Lance. And from a 49er perspective, it would behoove them to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. It would benefit the team tremendously to get rid of him because right now his trade value is the highest it's going to be. The worst thing that could happen is you try to roll into the 2021 season and Jimmy either gets hurt, which he has a propensity for doing, or he plays like shit, which he also has a propensity for doing, and it lowers and diminishes his trade value. So if it was up to me, obviously it's not. But maybe, like I said earlier, maybe Kyle and John are listening. Maybe they're taking my input. Who knows? If it was up to me, I would trade Jimmy Garoppolo right now or sometime before the regular season started. I would get rid of this dude. Just dump it. End it right now. While his value is still high, while you can still get something in return for him. Just trade him. You made your decision to trade up into the draft, the number three pick, to get your quarterback of the future, the guy you think, you hope, you wish will be the quarterback of the future. If you really have that much faith in Trey Lance, then have that much faith in Trey Lance and put him on the field immediately. Unless he just shows up to OTAs and preseason and training camp and is absolutely abysmal, it just shows you he has no business being on the field right now at this stage of his career. Other than that, which I don't see that happening. I think the kid's ready. I think he's ready to go from day one. This is why I would play him from day one and I would trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Worst come to worst, you can go with Josh Rosen. He has game experience. I don't look at Jimmy Garoppolo as being an elite quarterback, obviously. If you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you should know how I feel about him. I don't look at him as being an elite quarterback the 49ers couldn't possibly do without. I know what the win-loss record says, but there's a lot of factors and variables that go into that, especially the win-loss record without him on the field. Yeah, Shanahan's terrible. His win-loss record is terrible without Garoppolo. But who do you have in uniform those days? When he first took over his first two seasons, 2017-2018, this was a team largely devoid of talent. A massive rebuild had to take place to get this team back to respectability. Last season, you had $80 million in cap space on injured reserve. So you had good football players like Nick Bosa and Richard Sherman and Raheem Mostert and Deebo Samuel missing large chunks of the season and getting hurt themselves. And that directly influenced the team win-loss record. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't, but numbers don't always tell the full story. So you can look at the win-loss record with and without Garoppolo. You can say, well, they need him to win. Not really. They need him to be available, and he wasn't available. He missed 23 games in 3 years. So the decision has been made. So now, to me, the future is now. Start Trey Lance. That's just my two cents about that situation. And that's how I feel about our first pick in the 2021 NFL Draft. Trey Lance out of North Dakota State, the third overall pick. Moving on to the second round. San Francisco was initially scheduled to have the 43rd pick in the second round. They traded back to the 48th pick, so the Las Vegas Raiders moved up from 48 to 43. San Francisco moved from 43 to 48. And with that 48th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers selected Aaron Banks, guard from Notre Dame. I like the pick. I like it a lot. I've been clamoring for years now, at least 2.5 years, about how the 49ers need to address one of the biggest problem areas on the team. That, of course, would be interior line. I've been very outspoken about that. I mentioned this last year to anyone who will listen, especially after losing Super Bowl 54, especially after I watched Mike Person get his lunch money taken for 4 quarters by Chris Jones. Chris Jones put Mike Person on a leash and took him for a walk. Chris Jones picked up Mike Person by his ankles and hung him over a toilet bowl. Chris Jones beat the dog shit out of Mike Person for 4 quarters in Super Bowl 54 so badly that Mike Person retired from pro football a month later. And he's not alone. The interior line for the 49ers has been a problem for 2.5 years, and it cost us one of the reasons when we lost Super Bowl 54. It needed to be addressed last offseason. It wasn't. It continued to be a problem going into the 2020 season. Finally, this issue has been addressed. Aaron Banks is a quality football player. He gave up 0 sacks last year in pass protection playing for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Aaron Banks is 6'5", 325 pounds. Obviously, he's a big guard, a massive behemoth of a man, technically sound, run blocker, gets into position with great angles, does a good job with his hand placement. He's a strong hand fighter with solid length and pass protection. He's not an overpowering run blocker, and he's not as stout as his frame would suggest in pass protection. But overall, a very good offensive lineman, a very good guard. He's also not as athletic a guard that you would typically see in the Shanahan zone blocking scheme, where guards are asked frequently to get out and to pull and get out in front of the running backs and take on linebackers at the second level of defense. He's not quite that type of guy right now, which kind of made the pick a little bit odd for me because, once again, I think about the Shanahan zone blocking scheme and what guards are typically asked to do, and Aaron Banks is really not that kind of guy, not that nimble, not that quick on his feet, not that athletic. But overall, I look at the size of the guy, I look at his hand placement, I look at his, he has great feet. Overall, a technically sound offensive lineman. He should definitely come in not only and compete with Daniel Brunskill for the starting job at right guard, he should take that job away from him. And what this draft pick does, it helps out Mike McGlinchey, another Notre Dame offensive lineman that we already have on the team. Mike McGlinchey struggled exponentially last season. And the same McGlinchey struggled is a gross understatement. He was absolutely abysmal, terrible, awful, woefully inept, pitiful, garbage, dog shit, fucking terrible. All throughout 2020, getting pushed around, getting bullied, getting beat up, getting slapped, getting treated like a prostitute week after week after week in pass protection. Mike McGlinchey was good at Notre Dame because he had Quentin Nelson playing right guard right next to him, and I feel like that helped him out and made him look better than what he actually is. So the hope is that Aaron Banks can come in, and he's not as good as Quentin Nelson, but he's good. And the hope is that he can come in and supplement Mike McGlinchey and help and boost him up, help him be better than what he actually is, or at least make him look better than what he actually is. Hopefully, also, McGlinchey puts on some fucking weight in the offseason. Last year, he was playing at about 6'8", 250. This malnutrition, malnourished right tackle getting thrown around like the actual football itself didn't help the 49ers, especially in pass protection. So you hope that McGlinchey can get on the right track, and you hope that Aaron Banks can come in from day one and be a great guard that can not only boost up McGlinchey but help the entire offensive line out as a whole. We need that help on the interior. You also have to think about this, and this is something I preach to people all the time. One of my main draft rules for me personally, I believe you need to draft in accordance to your division. Draft based on the 3 teams you're going to see twice a year, every year. And for us, for the San Francisco 49ers, one of the teams you got to deal with twice a year are the Los Angeles Rams, who have an elite, stout defensive line being anchored and led by the best defensive player in pro football, Aaron Donald, who normally lines up on the interior. They move him around throughout the entirety of the defensive line, but typically he lines up on the interior. He's going to rush up the middle, up the A-gap. So you need good guard play, good center play, good interior line play to try to keep him in check. Even though he's the best defensive player in pro football, he's a multiple-time defensive player of the year. He's a beast. but you need somebody that can stand up to him at least and not allow him to fuck up the game as he has the capability of doing. So hopefully Aaron Banks can be that. Now let's move on to the third round. This is where things get tricky for me. The 49ers traded up two picks to get back into the third round and get the 88th pick overall. And with that pick, they took Trey Sermon, running back from the Ohio State University, 6 feet, 215 pounds, excellent vision and patience, tough, competitive runner with contact balance to break tackles, reliable check down option in the passing game, has the potential to develop into an effective and elite pass blocker, a very good football player. Here's my problem with the pick. We already have a surplus of running backs in the team. What we don't have is a surplus of good, competent, game-breaking wide receivers. So I don't understand why you would trade up two picks to get into the third round to take a running back. Kendrick Bourne's gone. He signed with the New England Patriots. You look at our wide receiving core, minus Kendrick Bourne. You have Deebo Samuel, who has a propensity for getting hurt. Deebo's a great football player. I love Deebo Samuel. I appreciate having him on our team. He's made a lot of great plays for the 49ers. He's an awesome, outstanding professional football player. Unfortunately, he gets hurt a lot, like I said. But he's a great player. On the other side of him is Brandon Ayuk, another great, outstanding, awesome professional football player, a great receiver in the NFL, who I think is better than Deebo because I think he's a better route runner. I think he has more versatility to his game. I think he's more explosive, more of a threat downfield than Deebo Samuel is, which leads me to my next point. The 49ers have a dearth of explosive, game-breaking wide receivers. We haven't had an explosive, game-breaking receiver since Terrell Owens. And that's like 2003, 2004. It's a long time ago. Everyone since then has either been shit or at their best, just a pretty good possession receiver. We have not had that explosive, game-breaking receiver since Terrell Owens. That guy, you could throw a quick bubble screen or a quick hitch to him, and he could take it 80 yards for a touchdown. Easy, simple, quick, basic play. In the NFL, it's sort of like baseball. You're not going to win a lot of games laying down sacrifice bunts or singles or stealing bases. You win games by hitting home runs in the NFL, to use a baseball analogy. It's hard to consistently put together 10, 12, 15 play drives and punch it in for six. Sometimes you need a two or three play drive where you threw that quick hitch or that bubble screen or that slant to your receiver and he took it 80 yards by himself for six. Sometimes you need that. That wins football games in the modern day NFL. I think a lot of people, once again, have an antiquated notion, an antiquated outlook in regards to how football is played. They don't really understand, or they don't really know how the game has changed, how the game is played now. You can lay down sacrifice bunts. You can hit singles. You can play station-to-station baseball if you want to. Sometimes you got to swing for the fences. If you got a man on first and second, put it over the fence as three runs right there for you. If it's first and 10 at the 20-yard line and you're down by 14 with 5 minutes to go, the faster you score, the better chance you have of winning that game. So what happens when the Niners get down in games? Are we going to rely on the running game to run us back into the game? Because that's all I keep hearing people say was that, well, you can see what direction we're going in. We're going to be a physical football team. We're going to get back to basics. We're going to run the football. Shanahan is so creative and so much of a genius in regards to how he devises schemes to run the football. I get all that. I understand all that. But sometimes you need that game breaker that can take it 80 yards by himself to the house. It makes the game easier. It makes things easier on your young rookie quarterback. If you can surround him with an abundance of playmakers, it makes his learning curve a little bit easier. You can shorten that game plan. You can simplify that game plan to make things easier to accommodate him. If you surround him with a bunch of game breakers, right now we only have two. Now you have George Kittle with tight end, but that's a tight end. I'm talking about receivers. You have Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. Who else do you have besides that? Richie James Jr., River Craycraft, Travis Benjamin. Are we still waiting for Jalen Hurd to figure out how to stay healthy and play football? Jalen Hurd has only played one game for the 49ers, and that was a preseason game versus the Dallas Cowboys 2 years ago. Are we still waiting for this dude to get healthy? If he does, that's great. John Lynch said it yesterday. He's on track right now. He's encouraged by his progress and development in his rehab. I'm glad he's encouraged. Does that mean he's ready to play football? What does it mean that you're encouraged by his rehab? Is he on the field? Is he making football movements? Is he cutting and planting? Is he running full speed? Or is he just walking around T-shirt and shorts and you're encouraged by the way he looks? Why are we still waiting for this? In the meantime, you can draft someone else who might be healthy, who might be able to contribute. There are plenty of good wide receivers on the board. The pick immediately after Trey Sermon was Nico Collins, receiver out of the University of Michigan, 6'4", 215 pounds, big vertical threat, outstanding burst off the line of scrimmage, top end speed. Pretty good route runner who can still develop in that area, tested well, shows the ability to separate with strength at the top of his routes, has great length and leaping ability to make contested catches, but on the downside, he does have inconsistent hands. But I still would take a flyer on a guy like that. 6'4", 215, great athlete, can run, great top-end speed. You can work on his route running. We saw that with DK Metcalf last year. That was the biggest knock on DK Metcalf coming out of Ole Miss, is that he was a terrible route runner, that he could only really run two routes. Well, you see how well he's done in the NFL. His hands, Terrell Owens didn't have great hands either. So things can be, little things like that can be worked on and fixed. And there was a number of other great receivers who went after Trey Sermon that the 49ers could have drafted. Think about Anthony Schwartz out of Auburn, who was taken by the Cleveland Browns. Dez Fitzpatrick, who was taken by the Tennessee Titans from Louisville. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the little brother of Equanimeous St. Brown from USC, taken by Detroit. Jalen Darden, that's a guy on every single mock draft I did, I took this dude. An explosive, dangerous open field runner, great top end speed, would have been a perfect slot receiver for the 49ers. Another guy I think would have been a perfect fit for the 49ers, Tylan Wallace, wide receiver from Oklahoma State, 5'11", buck 94. He was taken by the Baltimore Ravens. Another guy is a tough open field runner, great north-south speed, brace tackles after the catch, quick off the line of scrimmage, smooth route runner, instinctive working against zone coverage. Doesn't that sound like a Kyle Shanahan wide receiver? You want a guy that's a good route runner, is good against zone coverage, and can give you yards after the catch. We got the Yak Bros in San Francisco. You got Debo and Ayuk and George Kittle, who pride themselves on getting yards after the catch. That's what Tylan Wallace can do. That's what Jalen Darden can do. To me, those would have been perfect picks. To me, those guys fit the Shanahan system and what Kyle likes to do from an offensive standpoint, and they add yet another dimension to your offense. They add yet another playmaker on the outside. I understand we're going to play bully ball this season. We're going to rely heavily on the running game. But just thinking forward, just projecting forward, what happens if you're down two touchdowns in the game in the third quarter? Are you just going to run your way out of that? What happens if you're down 10 points with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter? You have to throw the football. It would behoove you to have as many weapons as possible. There's no rule in the NFL rulebook that says you can only have two good receivers. The 49ers have exactly that. They have two good wide receivers. One of them gets hurt a lot. So are we going to roll into this season and expect Jalen Hurd to get healthy? Are we going to depend on 31-year-old Mohamed Sanu, who hasn't had a good year since 2018? What kind of sense does that make? Why would you trade two draft picks to get to the third round and take a running back? A good running back at that. Nothing wrong with Trey Sermon. Trey Sermon could very well be the second coming of Jim Brown. But at the end of the day, he's a running back. He has a limited shelf life. Running back is the least valued skill position in pro football. That's why people thought it was outrageous for Pittsburgh to take Najee Harris in the first round and for Jacksonville to take Travis Etienne. Because there's no value to running backs anymore. You don't need to have one running back. This is a team in San Francisco that goes running back by committee. So you already have Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson. You lost Jet McKinnon, but how much of a loss is that really? You got Jamichael Hasty already in the fold. You just signed Wayne Gallman in free agency. So that's four running backs you already had. Now you just drafted two more. One in Trey Sermon. Like I said, nothing against Trey Sermon. He's a good running back. And then you go out and get Elijah Mitchell in the sixth round, who I think Elijah Mitchell has the potential to be better than Trey Sermon. I think he fits the zone running scheme better than Trey Sermon does. He's a faster running back, more elusive, more efficient in his running. plants his foot, gets up the field, north-south runner. That's exactly what Kyle Shanahan is looking for in that running game. Truthfully, with the zone running scheme with Kyle Shanahan and with running backs coach Bobby Turner has been joined at the hip with the Shanahan family since the mid-90s, it doesn't matter who the running back is. So you can find a running back in the later rounds for that Shanahan system. You don't need to trade two picks to get to the third round to get Trey Sermon. I just didn't understand the pick. I mean, once again, no disrespect to Trey Sermon. For all I know, he'll come in and be, I don't know, 2012 Adrian Peterson, for all I know. But at the end of the day, there's already, like I said, a wealth of running backs on this football team. However, there is a dearth, there's a deficit we are lacking in the wide receiver position. We have two of them that were good, and one of them gets hurt a lot, and the other receivers are either old or just not that good to begin with. Juwan Jennings, the seventh-round pick from last year, runs a 4.7 in the 40. He's 23 years old. He's washed already. They put him on the practice squad last year for a reason because he's not that good. So you're going to put your faith in the guy like Juwan Jennings, River Craycraft, 31-year-old Travis Benjamin, 31-year-old Mohamed Sanu, and Richie James Jr., knowing that you lost Kendrick Bourne? I just don't understand it, why a wide receiver was not taken in this draft. Now, they got some receivers in free agency, undrafted free agents, and I hear a lot of people online, a lot of 49er fans I talk to saying, well, you know, don't overreact to it because they can just pick up a receiver in free agency. Why would you do that? Who cares? I don't care about that. They might end up being good too, but you had a three-day opportunity in the NFL draft to identify and select a wide receiver you think can help boost this football team up. And that's what the NFL draft is for. That's the intention and the purpose of the NFL draft. You come into this draft, hopefully you've done your homework and your due diligence. You figured out what areas of your team were lacking and what football players in this draft can help you turn those problem areas into areas of success, turn those weaknesses into strengths. That's the whole purpose of the NFL draft. That's what it's here for. So I don't understand the thought process of purposely neglecting all 3 days in the NFL draft just to get some receivers off the scrap heap in undrafted free agency, or just to wait for other teams to cut their unwanted dead weight at receiver and you try to bring those guys in when you had a 3-day opportunity to get young, dynamic, fast, explosive, capable receivers who can help your football team right now. But I digress. However, even though the 49ers inexplicably neglected their areas of concern at wide receiver, they did, however, address their areas of concern in the secondary. The other third-round pick was Ambry Thomas, a defensive back, 6 feet, 191 pounds from the University of Michigan. Big, long, fast press man corner, flashes the ability to pluck the ball out of the air faster than quick, lacks the fluidity to mirror better route runners. However, a physical run defender, an excellent open field tackler. I love that pick as well. I watched him play a little bit in college last year, 2 years ago at Michigan. I think he opted out in 2020. But I do remember watching him play a little bit in Michigan, and he jumped off the screen at me. I thought he was a good football player. So I embrace that pick. I like having him on the team. I think he adds to what we have. I think he'll come in as a guy that adds to the depth of the cornerback room, but I think he has the potential to be a starter one day for the 49ers. I love that pick. And he also gives you great value in the return game, something that San Francisco has sorely been lacking since about 2012 when Ted Ginn was on the team. That's the last time we had a quality, capable return man. I think that's the last time we had a kick return for a touchdown. I might have looked that up, but off the top of my head, I think the last time we had a kick return for a touchdown was about 2012 or 13, and I know it was Ted Ginn, I think, in a game versus Seattle. But it's been a while. We have not been a threat in the return game for about 8 or 9 years now. So hopefully Thomas or Elijah Mitchell, he's also a return game threat. So hopefully one of those two guys or both of them can help us out in that area that we've been deficient in for close to a decade. So I'm a fan of the Ambry Thomas pick. I'm also a fan of the Jalen Moore pick in the fifth round, 6'4", 311-pound offensive guard from Western Michigan. He flashes great ability to generate push, has the tools to develop into an effective zone blocker at the NFL level, quick, excellent balance, moves well in pass protection, doesn't have ideal length for a tackle, kind of overextends a little bit at certain times, so he might be a better fit on the inside of the NFL. Which also, as I said earlier, helps us out because we've been deficient. We've been lacking in our interior line for 2 years now. So drafting Jalen Moore and drafting Aaron Banks helps us shore up that interior line. And what you see right now in the NFL, one of the more current trends is a lot of teams trying to get pressure directly up the middle, right through that A-gap, to go right into a quarterback's face. So this is another reason why it's imperative that you have strong interior line play to further protect your quarterback. It's a great investment, in particular, into a guy like Trey Lance to have to take two offensive guards to help negate that rush up the middle and keep a clean pocket for him and to keep him off the ground and to make his transition to the NFL as smooth as possible. So I love this pick. Looks like I love the Aaron Banks pick. The other fifth-round pick, the Amador Lenore, defensive back from the University of Oregon. I like this pick as well. This guy's a ball hawk. You turn on the tape of this guy, he's always somewhere around the football. Not the best tackler in the world, but he is a willing run defender. He is willing to stick his nose in there and get dirty a little bit and try to stop somebody and put him on the ground. So I like that pick as well. I think that's another pick that's he's another guy for roster depth. I don't look at him as being a day one starter. He's a fifth round pick. Who knows? He could surprise some people. But I look at him as being a guy for roster depth because you look at the DBs we have on the roster right now. Jason Verrett, Emmanuel Mosley, and Quan Williams. I think those three guys are pretty much guaranteed to make the team. And these two rookies will probably make the team as well. Hopefully both of them make the team. You never know with a fifth round pick. But I think we did a good job shoring up that defensive back position and adding some more depth to that position and putting ourselves in a better position for this team. Keep in mind, once again, draft in accordance to your division. It makes a lot of sense to go DB in a division where you guys see DK Metcalf twice a year, DeAndre Hopkins twice a year, Tyler Lockett as well in Seattle. He's a very good receiver in his own right. So you got to deal with these great receivers twice a year in your own division. It would behoove you, once again, to draft good defensive backs to counterattack what the other teams are throwing at you from a wide receiver standpoint. And then to add further depth to the overall secondary was the pick of Talanoa Hufanga, defensive back from USC, 6 feet, 199. He's at his best playing close to the line of scrimmage. He ran a 4.63 at his pro day, not the fastest guy you ever seen. So you definitely want to have him playing close to the box, attacking the running game. He's one of those guys, he hits hard. He's playing full speed ahead. Not, like I said, not the fastest guy in the world, but on tape, I think he plays football faster than he runs in T-shirt and shorts. I think he's one of those guys. I think he adds a lot of value to what we do. We needed a big time, like someone to knock people out. Someone, a big hit type of guy. You stick him in free safety, like I said, you play him close to the line of scrimmage, he can wreak havoc. He can do some damage. This is a good draft pick and a good football player. So once again, good pick. So let's recap all this. In summary, how do I feel about the San Francisco 49ers draft? If I were to attach a letter grade to it, I would give it a solid B. We got our quarterback for the future in Trey Lance. You shored up the interior line by drafting Aaron Banks and Jalen Moore, and you added some much-needed roster depth to the cornerback position by drafting Ambry Thomas and Amador Lenore. You got a hard-hitting safety out of USC, Talanoa Hufanga. My only issues with the draft, as I already stated, is not addressing the wide receiver position, not adding an explosive, game-breaking, change-of-pace wide receiver to the team, not adding a guy to the roster that can take it 80 yards by himself off a quick hitch or a slant. I just feel like that's a failure to me. This draft was rich in offensive linemen, number one. There was a lot of linemen that went. As I stated before, leading up to the draft and recapping the first day of the draft, this draft was heavy on offensive linemen. You saw a run on linemen throughout the entire draft. And it was also rich on receivers. You saw a run on wide receivers in this draft. There was plenty of talent to choose from, which makes it even more, I don't know, inexplicable to me that we did not address that position when there was a wealth of talent at the receiver position sprinkled throughout this entire draft. Offensive linemen and receivers were the top of the class of the 2021 NFL draft. The best football players played those positions in this draft. We addressed the offensive line, which I was happy about. Like I said, it was garbage last season, in particular the interior line. That's great. That gets an A+. But neglecting drafting a wide receiver to take care of that need, to add some explosiveness to your offense, to make things easier for your rookie quarterback, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't like it. So for that reason, not getting a receiver lowers the grade down to a B. Once again, the Trey Lance pick, A+. The offensive lineman picks, A and a B plus respectively. An A for Aaron Banks, a B plus for Moore because the jury's still out on him. He's still a developmental player, I think. Overall, I thought we did a good job with this draft. Reading all the other draft grades, everyone is kind of in agreement, saying that San Francisco did a great job with this particular draft and grading pretty high on this draft. Like I said, I give it a B. It would have been an A minus. If we had just taken one receiver, I would give it an A minus. But just not getting a receiver knocks it down to a B. That's still a passing grade. I think this is a good football team, as I stated before. The roster as is Super Bowl ready. Even with a rookie quarterback, I think this is a Super Bowl contending football team. Vegas agrees with me. The odds have gone up for the 49ers to reach the Super Bowl this season. So those are all good signs to me. When I see the odds come out from Vegas, that tells me that we're probably going to have a good year this year. So that's just something to look out for. So that about wraps it up for my summary review and analysis of the 49ers 2021 NFL Draft. On the next podcast, I'll be breaking down and reviewing the other teams in the league, the biggest stories and storylines from all 3 days of the NFL Draft. From the other team's perspective, I just wanted to dedicate this entire podcast to the 49ers perspective because I'm a 49er fan and I got a lot to say about the 49ers. So if I try to combine all that into one, it will be like a 2-hour podcast, and I don't feel like doing that. You probably don't feel like listening to that. But if you did listen, I appreciate you, as always. Eternally grateful, always humble, very much appreciative. Thank you for listening to the Dion Gordon Podcast. Picture me rolling. I'm out.